Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
This morning we have an incredible privilege and honor to have Pastor Jonathan and Verna Del Turco from North Reading. They pastor in North Reading, Massachusetts, an incredible church called International Family Church. And I won't go into, maybe tonight I'll go into more detail, but for the sake of this morning, how we met one another. But International Family Church is an incredible church outside of Boston that Angie and I have had the honor of visiting on a couple of occasions. And one of the things that's so amazing about these individuals is they just know how to love you when you need to be loved. They know how to love you when nobody else seems to know how. How many are thankful for the people who know how to love you when you need it? Over 60 nations represented in their church family. Just let that sink in. 60 nations? How many like me, you didn't even know there were 60 different countries in the world, let alone 60 different nations in one church family. It's so incredible. They've been married 42 years. And they're helping Angie and I as we walk down this path of ministry together. Same church for 38. Is that right? 37 years. Incredible people. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand on your feet and give a great big MLC welcome to Pastor Jonathan Del Turco as he comes to bring us the word on this incredible Sunday.
Go get him.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. You may be seated. Thank you. It's so good to be with you today. What a joy and honor and a privilege to be in this brand new facility. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Taking it all in, the goodness of God. Wow, you guys are blessed. You really are. It's a privilege for us to be with you today. Will you please welcome my wife? Honey, why don't you stand? This is my wife, Verna. Good to be with you today. As you know, 42 years married and 2 children, 5 grandchildren. Anytime I need a self-esteem day, I just find one of my grandkids so they can affirm me. They love their papa and Grammy. But it's great. It's a privilege and honor to be with you today. It really is. And to be able to celebrate, to be the first guest speaker or the first person to speak in this sanctuary, man, that's pretty cool too, right? My wife said today, when I said that I'm the first person to speak in this sanctuary, she said, make sure you don't blow it. Thanks, honey, for that encouragement. That was awesome. I don't think we will, but nonetheless, we celebrate with you. We really do celebrate with you, Pastor and Angie and your family. What a joy to be able to be in here to celebrate with you. You know, I've learned this over the years. By nature, divine assignments are impossible. If you have a God dream, it's impossible. God doesn't give us dreams that we can do on our own. God doesn't give us dreams that we have enough money for, we have enough education for, we have enough experience for, we have the means on our own. Absolutely not. So the fact that you're sitting in something that started out impossible, and with your hard work and your faith and your giving and your serving and your building and your strategy brought to life something that was impossible so that God could get all the honor and glory for it, that's pretty amazing. What do you think? It really is. It's amazing. If God has given you a God dream, don't fret, even though it seems so overwhelming and so impossible. And that's just God's way to put that hook in your mouth, to make sure you do it His way. You give Him all the honor and glory for it, right? And we recognize, as I've said over and over at IFC, you know, I'm not smart enough to see all that God has done. Your pastor's not smart enough. I know you think he's smart, and he is. He's pretty amazing. But even your own pastor's not smart enough to see all this happen. It takes God, doesn't it? And we're grateful for that. So we're honored to be here today. Let's pray. Let's believe God together. I believe God's given us a word that will be a great blessing to you today, a word that will help you, a word that will be a great blessing to you. And I believe God will help us in a very special way. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this opportunity we have to study your word today. Thank you for the privilege of celebrating looking what the Lord has done, celebrating a miracle, celebrating a job well done, celebrating a group of people, a family of believers, Lord, rallying together and putting their resources together, trusting God, and look what's happened. So, Father, we give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. We're so grateful for your faithfulness. We're so grateful for your love. We give you honor today. We thank you that you are an amazing good God. Now, thank you for a word that puts us all together for us, a word that helps us, a word, Father God, that brings us focus, a word that helps us to target us as we go forward today. And we'll be so careful to give you all the honor, all the glory and praise. And all of God's people said, amen. Last week, your pastor started a brand new series entitled Legacy. I'm excited about doing part two of that today. Last week, your pastor gave a definition for legacy. So let's go over that again. What that definition was, legacy, a life that outlives me. What a great definition of legacy. Perfect starting point for us to realize that we were all building on the shoulders of somebody else. Every one of us are here today as a byproduct of somebody else. Legacy is something that outlives us, something that's been invested in us, something that lives beyond our present circumstances. And we are all in this room a product of somebody investing in us. Legacy is about life and living. Legacy is about learning from the past, living in the present, and building for the future. Notice I said that legacy is learning from the past, not living in the past. We don't live in the past. We learn from the past. You can't have a legacy if you're stuck in the past, living in the past. So we learn from the past. We live in the present. And so because of that, we're able to build for the future. In essence, everything you possess today, good and bad, is your legacy. Either it's been passed down to you, the good part or the bad part, but you have to understand something. All of it together creates our legacy. A good legacy isn't free and certainly isn't instant. Leaving a good legacy requires effort. It requires intentionality. It requires somebody to live a life on purpose. It doesn't happen by accident. I know legacy is a big word for some people, especially if you weren't brought up around that word, legacy. Man, it can be an intimidating word. It can be an overwhelming big word. And one that you assume I don't have one or I'll never pass one down. But you have to understand something. Everyone in this room, every one of us have an opportunity to be legacy minded. The reason why your pastor started this series right now is because there's a 14-year legacy. It's bigger than that, but a 14-year legacy of the faithfulness of God. This starts a new chapter. This starts a brand new opportunity of fruitfulness and faithfulness. And every one of us must understand that legacy is a part of our lives. It will require an investment of your time, your money, and an investment of yourself. Amen. And we must learn how the importance of being legacy minded. A bad legacy, on the other hand, requires no concerted effort for attainment. Do nothing, and a son and daughter will exactly get that. Probably not much, but it will be nonetheless a legacy. So that means there needs to be intentionality. There needs to be something that goes beyond something that is an effort that we put into this. Because like water always flowing downhill, so a bad legacy will pass effortlessly from one generation to the next. It's important to understand that every legacy has their challenges. Every legacy has good in it and bad in it. And it's up to us to discern what part do we want to pass on? What part do we want to make sure our children and our children's children and others participate with? You have to make up your mind because there are certain parts of a legacy we don't want to pass on. Certain parts of a legacy that, man, it was more pain than anything else. It's your choice if you pass on pain or if you pass on the wisdom you learn from that pain. But every one of us have an opportunity. You can be the victim if you want. Shake an angry fist at God. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Sing that somebody done me wrong song for the rest of your life. And that could be your legacy that you pass on. And everybody seems just to be angry. And they get angrier every generation. Or you can learn to say, you know what? That I don't want to pass that on.
I want to get the wisdom from that pain, because pain turning into wisdom is really a testimony of the grace of God. And we want to pass on the wisdom. How many want to pass on wisdom? Yeah, so we have a choice to make. We have to understand, how do we leave a legacy? Well, we leave a legacy, first of all, knowing that we need to be legacy-minded. Because leaving a legacy affects what we do. It affects how we live. It affects our character. So when you are legacy-minded, you care about your life. You care about your choices. You care about the things that you do. You care about honoring God. You care about being an example. You care about living your life on a certain level, because you realize what you do and how you live and how you invest in yourself and what you pass on makes a world of difference. I like to say it this way. Legacy helps us decide what kind of life we want to live and what kind of life we want to leave. See, when you're legacy-minded, you determine the kind of life you want to live so that you can leave a life to others, to your children and your children's children, and those around you, your family, your community, those that you work with can be affected by your life. The first thing my dad concentrated on when I was born was he worked hard to pass on to me his character, his beliefs, his leadership. My dad, second generation minister, realized that it was up to God, as he always would tell me, it's up to God what you do, but I want to make sure I give you the foundation you need so that you can eventually give your life to Christ, open up your heart to Jesus, and then have the foundation to then be able to obey God and do what it is that's in your heart to do. And so my dad was laying a foundation back then, way before I would ever understand who I was, but he laid a foundation. I'm walking on that foundation today. That's legacy. Some of you have heard the true story of a church that was built around 1000 AD. And that church really had some detail about what that church was going to be all about. It came a time where the church needed a brand new roof. It was a really old roof. Now it's 200 years old as a church. So they went and got the construction plans. And in the construction plans was a detailed description of a forest that was planted when the church got dedicated so that they would have the exact kind of tree necessary for the support beams of that roof. They followed those instructions, and lo and behold, they found a forest that was now full grown, nice, neat rows that was planted 200 years before that they could now harvest to have the wood they needed to be able to repair that roof. Amen. Listen very carefully. Only someone with a long-term mentality could ever thought of planting a forest that for a need that did not yet exist. That's legacy. That's legacy. That's the mentality that God wants us to have in our lives. To operate in such a mentality, as I said, requires a perspective change. It requires an understanding. Wow, I got to live my life a little different. I got to be more thoughtful and more intentional to be able to be a person of legacy and a family of legacy. And the only boundary to your legacy is the boundary you put on yourself. The boundary of your own thinking, the boundary of your own limitation, the boundary of your own thought process. Amen. You might say, well, you know, I don't have a good legacy that was passed down to me. What do I do about that? Well, the good news is we all can begin where we are. Amen. If you received an empty wallet, be the one that fill it. If you were the first to accept Christ in your family tree, then make sure you're not the last one that receives Christ. If we've experienced a negative environment full of I can'ts, then you make up your mind that you're going to change that environment and be full of I can's. If you grew up in a perpetual victim mentality mindset, well, you make up your mind, I'm going to be a victor mindset. I'm not going to allow the victimized nature of my past to be part of my future. You came from a home of broken promises and failure. Well, choose to pass on a legacy of honesty and success. See, no matter what was given to you, no matter what was passed down to you, you can be the one that draws the line in the sand and says, from this day forward, I'm going to make a difference. From this day forward, I'll change. From this day forward, I'll make sure my kids are brought up differently. I'll make sure I learn and grow. I'll make sure I go to the good church that I need to go to and be under a good pastor and be under a good leadership team so I can grow and get all the things I need so that the legacy from this day forward can be totally different than what was passed down to me. I mean, that's a pretty good idea. Amen. Thank God for that today. Amen. So think about this. There is a legacy that I want to talk to, a specific legacy that I want to show you in the Bible that really applies to where we are today and moving forward in building this legacy. I want to talk to you about the legacy of faithfulness. The legacy of faithfulness. Let's read a few verses of scripture today to lay a little foundation for this. First of all, in Psalm 89:1-2, I'm reading out of the Amplified Version. It says this. I will sing of the mercies and loving kindness of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness from generation to generation. For I have said, mercy and loving kindness shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness will be established in the very heavens, unchangeable and perpetual. It goes on to say in verse 28, my mercy and loving kindness will I keep for him forever. And my covenant shall stand fast and be faithful with him. His offspring also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my ordinance, if they break or profane my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will not punish their transgression. Then I will punish their transgression with the rod of chastisement and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not break off from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail, to lie or be false to him. My covenant will I not break or profane, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. What does all that mean? Well, this scripture is talking about specifically David and his family. And give us some insight regarding the faithfulness and mercy of God. They teach us that when we are faithful, when one generation is faithful, it's possible to store up mercy for the next generation. Every time you serve your church, every time you serve God in that assignment, whether it's across the street or around the world, anytime you serve and give, anytime you be a blessing to somebody else, you are affecting not only your here and now. See, all we think about is what I do today affects today. Who I serve today, I serve today. But you understand, God sees something totally different. God views your service totally different. God sees your giving totally different. God sees you on that dream team totally different. He sees how you build and how you bless and how you love others, and every time you hug or bless somebody else, he sees that totally different than the one-time event that you might see yourself. God sees it and realizes that's an investment in your future. That's an investment in your tomorrow. That's an investment beyond the present moment that you experienced that particular thing. See, the faithfulness of God is not a one-time event for one group of people. It's generational. It's generational. Today we are experiencing the generational nature of God in his faithfulness. Today you're experiencing, yes, this congregation did a lot of work over the last 3 years. But think about that, this is happening today much bigger than the last 3 years. This is generational. You understand that today. When it was time for Solomon to build the temple, an amazing thing happened. Let me remind you. The Bible said that his father David stored up 1 million talents of silver and 100,000 talents of gold. In today's value, that would be $85 billion, with a B, billion dollars the father had stored up for the son so he could fulfill his purpose and call. Pretty amazing. How much easier was now the life of the son because the father faithfully laid up an abundance of resources. Not only did David store up an abundance of financial blessings, but even of greater value, David stored up an abundance of spiritual blessings that are often overlooked, but really their value is much greater. And I believe that affects our children for generations to come. Our lives will either be stepping stones for others or stumbling blocks for others. What's your life? Is it a stepping stone or a stumbling block? So many of us oftentimes start off as stumbling blocks until we realize I'm done with that. Until we realize that there needs to be something happening in my life so my life is no longer a stumbling block. People aren't, you know, getting worse because of my life. People are getting better. It's a step up for them. And so that choice is ours. That choice is yours to make your life a stepping stone for others or a stumbling block for others. I want my children to get to heaven because of me, not in spite of me. How's that sound to you? Amen. I want my children to be consistent overcomers because of how I lived, not constantly being overcome because of the mess I left them. That's our choice. That's my choice. That's your choice. We have the power through our choices, through our lifestyle, through our hard work, our commitment to lay up and store up the mercies of God. This works to our benefit, or this works to our detriment. Let me give you one example of how it works to our detriment. The Old Testament talks about how sin can be stored up and laid up. Exodus 20 verse 5 says, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, and will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children, and the entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generation of those who reject me." What's that saying? There's something about iniquity that can be stored up and passed on. There's something about our bad habits, our unhappy lifestyles, that can make it very difficult for our children and those who follow us. You know how true this is. Drugs and alcohol and bondage of all kind and dysfunction and anger and abuse can be passed on from one generation to another. We see it played out before us every day. We see it played out in our families every day. Amen. We often see the same issues on dad and mom that they dealt with. Now their children and their grandchildren are dealing with the same thing. Generational poverty, generational darkness, generational sin. It happens all the time. There are plenty of scriptures I can show you, but the good news is, thank God for Jesus and his shed blood. Can I get a better amen than that? Thank God for Jesus and his shed blood, right? What we stored up, thank God, Jesus, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, when we invite him into our lives, amen, it breaks the power of the old and establishes the new, and we have a new beginning, don't we? How many are grateful for the blood of Jesus this morning that cleanses us and washes us and sets us free and gives us the ability to rewrite our story, amen, to rewrite our legacy, to rewrite our past, and to know that our future is not determined on our past. Our future is determined by our destiny, not our past failures. Aren't you glad? God can take your mess and turn it into a message. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the beauty of knowing who God is in our lives. So we are either laying up for others either a right way or a wrong way. But make no mistake, you are laying up something. You are affecting many more than you know in your life. Let me get right to my point today. God told David this. He said, "I won't let your children be destroyed without dealing with them." Parents, grandparents, when you live for Christ, you can store up mercy. It pays to live for Christ and put God first. Let me tell you something. As I am a third generation of the legacy that's been passed on from my grandparents to my father, my mother, to me, to our children, now to our grandchildren, I am grateful for this legacy. But just because I have this legacy doesn't mean that I get to walk in it without certain choices that I've had to make. certain choices we made as individuals, as a couple, as parents, and now my grown children, the choices they're making to raise their children, and so on and so on. You can store up mercy. It pays to live for Christ. How many think it pays to live for Christ? Let me see your hand. Amen. How many think it pays to put God first? Let me see your hand. Oh, absolutely. Amen. In more ways than you understand. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 103:17. But the mercy and loving kindness of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting upon those who reverently, worshipfully fear him, and his righteousness is to children's children. Luke 1:50 says, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Let me prove this out to you in just one vein of a story that lasts generations. And you need to put yourself in this story. I'm going to tell you right up front. This is not just a story for one particular family in the Bible. This is a story that you need to relate to. A story that you need to understand. This applies to you too. This applies to everything about who you are and the service that you render to God and the things that you do in putting God first. Are you ready? That was a question. Okay. Let me prove it to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. David has been dead for 11 years. Everybody shout out, 11 years. 11 years is a long time to be dead and in the grave. Solomon has built the temple. The date of the dedication is now at hand. 10,000 men worked 11 years cutting lumber. 150,000 men worked 7.5 years assembling the temple. 300 million people are attending the dedication service. 4,000 ushers are needed to handle all the people. That's some dream team, right? Everything's in place. 20,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep and goats are ready to be sacrificed. And Solomon prays this prayer. 2 Chronicles 6:42. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember your mercy to your servant David. When he prayed that prayer, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord was present and filled the temple. What happened? When he said, remember my father, Solomon tapped into all that stored up, built up mercy. God was saying, I remember your father. He was a worshiper. He loved me and he served me faithfully. He worshiped me in the hillside. He worshiped me in the cave when he was on the run. He worshiped me when no one else was looking. Anyone can worship God publicly, but what really matters is what we do privately. So 11 years after David's death, God's presence fills the temple. 2 Kings 11, David's now been dead for 23 years. Shout with me, 23 years. 23. Solomon marries strange women. He has 1,000 wives, and the Bible calls him the wisest man in the world. Just take that in for a moment. Really? Somebody said that he married 1,000 wives so he could find one in a good mood when he came home. I didn't say that. Don't get mad at me. Somebody else said that, okay? David's been in the grave 23 years. Now Solomon has lost his mind. 1 Kings 11 says, therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days, for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of your hand of your son. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I'll give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David. God is saying, time has run out for you because of your choices. But because of your father, there's still stored up mercy. Isn't that amazing? Someone, you might think that because you're a grandparent, I'll say it this way. Some of us think that we are really something else. We've accomplished certain things. We've been successful in this, and we've built this, and we have this amount of money, and we are something else. And sometimes we feel like, man, aren't I something? But really, in reality, if it wasn't for a grandparent, if it wasn't for a parent that prayed for us, we wouldn't be where we are today. There are people that have prayed for us, stood with us in intercession, oftentimes way before we were even born. And we were in a place where somebody was calling our name to God. His blessings are on us because of stored up mercy. I remember coming home and hearing my grandmother on the particular left side of her bed, Nona Congetta, crying out to God on the second oldest grandson. I'd hear her crying out for Timoteo, Timothy. Then I'd hear her say, Jonathan. And she would cry out to God on my behalf. There's been more than once when I understood this, that I stood in a place of overwhelming odds. I stood in a place where I should have never been in the miracle, the blessing of God that was so far bigger than me. And I would say, thank you, Nona. Thank you, Grandpa. Thank you, Nono, for praying. Thank you because of stored up mercy. I realize I'm where I am today. I realize that I'm where I am today because of their prayers. I'm talking about the faithfulness of God when one man and one woman and one dad and one mom and one minister and one missionary makes a covenant with God. You think it's all about the here and now and you're getting a breakthrough now. It happened so many years before and now you're walking in those blessings. Every time you serve, every time you partner, every time you volunteer, every time you leave your family to walk across the street or around the world, there is a spiritual deposit of mercy and blessing that goes to your account. Isn't that amazing today? That just so blesses me to know that that's true and that's true for you. One last example. 2 Kings 19. David's been in the grave 305 years. Say 305 years with me. Let that sink in. Hezekiah, David's great-grandson, seven times removed, is surrounded by enemy forces. He holds a letter in his hand from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And the letter says, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to wipe you out on the face of the earth. Overwhelming odds, greater weaponry, soldiers, they're outnumbered. It's overwhelming. I like what Hezekiah did. He took that letter into the temple, laid it on the altar, in effect saying, you got the wrong address. And says this in 2 Kings 19. Therefore, this is what the Lord is saying concerning the king of Assyria. He's in the temple and God speaks to him. He will not enter the city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with a shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter the city, declares the Lord. That's pretty amazing. That's a word you want to hear from God, right? And in one night, God sent an angel, and it slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers that surrounded Hezekiah. And why did God spare Hezekiah and the city? Verse 34, I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. 305 years of stored up mercy. That's the faithfulness of God. Thank God for the pioneers of faith. Thank God for the tremendous price they paid. Thank God that they prayed for a result that they never got to enjoy, that only generations after them are enjoying, all for another generation. Ministers of the gospel, missionaries would send their belongings in caskets to mission fields because they knew they would never return alive. That's commitment. That's dedication. That's laying a foundation of faithfulness, stored up mercy that's benefiting us today. One last verse. Interesting that your pastor closed part one with this same verse. Here in 2 Timothy 1:5, very quickly as I close, Timothy is in a real heap of trouble right now. In 1 Timothy, Timothy is ecstatic. He's actually overwhelmed. The church is growing way beyond his capacity. He's asking his spiritual father, Paul, how do I train leaders? How do I pick leaders? Man, they're getting saved all over the place. This church is blossoming by the thousands. It's growing. Man, it's popular to go to his church right now. It's the place to be. It's the place to be showing up. It's the place to learn. But here now in 2 Timothy, it's very different. The atmosphere has changed. Christians are being persecuted. They're dying by the thousands. At any day, the knock will come on Timothy's door to say, you're going to the lion's den. It's tough right now. Nobody wants to go to this church. Pastor Timothy is discouraged. He's overwhelmed. He wants to quit. He feels like there's nothing I can do. It's so bad right now. And Paul tells him, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. I read that one day, and here's what jumped out to me. Timothy, it didn't start with you, and it's not going to end with you. That's the faithfulness of God. It started with his grandmother and started with his mom. And I know Pastor explained the relationship with his grandmother and his mother. I have a similar relationship, and I get it. I understand it. And a beautiful thing, Pastor, this didn't start with you, and it's not going to end with you. It didn't start with this church, More Life Church. It didn't start with you. It's not going to end with you. Who knows how many years people have been praying, 14 that we know of, and how many years have people prayed for this region, prayed that this man would come home, and pray that this couple would get married, and pray that they would come back, or someone like them, to come and establish a life-giving church called More Life Church. Amen. We don't know the amount of opportunity that was there because of godly people that offered their prayers, given sacrificially, served countless hours. Amen. Thank God you are here today as a start of a brand new season of faithfulness and fruitfulness. I would encourage you, if you've got children that aren't serving God, you've got situations in your family that aren't like you'd like them to be, don't you dare give up. Keep serving. Keep loving. Keep caring. Keep giving. Keep being a blessing. Keep storing up that mercy. Keep storing up that faithfulness. All that you've done to allow this to even be possible. And the future that's coming for this church, keep serving. Keep blessing. Keep understanding. Keep recognizing that your faithfulness matters to God, not just for the moment, not just for this facility, but it goes beyond all this, the bigness of God. Yes, we're celebrating a brand new season of fruitfulness and faithfulness. Amen. But don't stop it, because you are building generations. Others will come and see and hear about what God has done in More Life Church because of the legacy of faithfulness. God will continue now to build on this in ways you never dreamed possible. Aren't you glad today that you've been a part of this? Aren't you glad today you sowed, you gave, you built, you dreamed, you were strategic, you served, you did your part so that each one of us today could be benefiting from what we will celebrate tonight and what we will do to give honor and glory to God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for giving. Thank you for being so sacrificial. Thank you because now we are building even something greater for those that are yet still to come. Amen. Did you learn something today? Come on, let me pray for you as Pastor comes forward today. Father, thank you for this church. What a privilege I've had today to be the first speaker in this new auditorium. I pray that these words from heaven today touched lives, encouraged lives, spoke into the very foundation of More Life Church, gave us focus for our today and for our tomorrow, gave us a reason to shout and celebrate even more so. And I pray, Father God, that everyone had a part to play in this miracle. Lord, we'll rejoice in the seeds they sowed, not just for right now, but for their family, for their children, for their grandchildren, for others that are yet still to enjoy the blessings of God of More Life Church. I pray, Father God, that we will intentionally do something that will create legacy in our lives, that we will be discerning about what part goes forward, what part doesn't. We won't get stuck in old ways, in old hurts. We won't get stuck, Father God, in something that was not done right on our behalf. But we will realize, Father God, that you turn that pain into wisdom, and you turn that pain into understanding, and that we'll pass on what is fruitful and helpful to others. Not something that tears people down, but builds people up, that we'll be legacy-minded from this day forward, and we'll be intentional, and we'll allow you, Father God, to continue to bless our lives and bless our families for your honor and for your glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Jonathan. How many of y'all glad you came to church today? Yeah, all right. Before we leave, we're going to give you an opportunity. We're going to be generous together, and we're going to worship briefly together before we come back tonight. But as Pastor Jonathan was sharing about a new season, I just want to encourage you, if you need a new start, if you need God to do a new thing in your life, he still has his stuff. He's willing and able to do it. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, today can be a brand new start in him for you. And he changes everything. Maybe you know what it means to grow up in church. Maybe your legacy maybe it's similar to mine. Mama, y'all have heard, if you've been on a trajectory with us as a church very long, you've heard me tell this. I didn't get a vote on Sunday mornings. Mama drugged me to church. I don't mean she drugged me, but I mean she dragged me. I don't know which way is the right usage of the verb. She made me go, in other words. She made me go, and I didn't get a vote. And over and over and over again, that was my story. Church is how I grew up. But I know that there might be people here, very common, that isn't your legacy. That isn't your story. And I say that because you might know what it means to follow Jesus because you've been raised in a church or had church as a part of your story. Maybe like, church is new to me. I don't get it. I don't understand. God comes into our world in moments when we need him most and rewrites our story to match his. Pastor Jonathan talked about David 11 years after he died, 23 years after he died, 305 years after he died. I want you to think about this. 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus died. He didn't stay dead. He was raised from the dead. And he was risen to new life to give us hope. And that hope that he brought to the world is meant for us to have hope in our lives so that we can have a new start. See, God sent the only thing that he had one of, his son, to die so that we could live. Because every single person in this room, we've sinned, we've fallen short of God's best. And Jesus was sent to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And in front of every single individual in this room right now is an opportunity for a new start. And it doesn't come by only wishing it or making a resolution or making a decision that you're just going to be a better person. True change comes when we say yes to everything that God has for us. True life transformation comes when we realize my life is not my own. I've tried it this way. I can't figure it out. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good looking enough to make it go. I need God in my life. And the good news is this, that God supplied every need the human heart would ever require in the man, Christ Jesus, who lived perfectly because he knew we could not. And here's a simple invitation. You just say, I'm not perfect. And there's really great news. That's not the expectation. The expectation is that you come to grips with your humanity and your imperfection and say, God, I need your grace. I need your love. I need your son and your spirit in my life. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, because I'm going to give everyone in this room an opportunity to have a new season, a new start. If you don't know Jesus, He's the way, the truth, and the life. None of us get to the Father except through Him, and that door is wide open to whosoever will. You can walk through that door. He took all of the sin and all of the shame. All you have to do is accept His sacrifice for you. You might say, Josh, I know what it means to be a Christ follower, but Jesus just hasn't been at the center of my life. I need to make a change. Today needs to be the beginning of a new season for me. And I'm ready to make that choice. I'm ready to, by faith, say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's moving around. I'm not going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. But I want you to have an opportunity, and I want to lead you in a prayer. If that's you, you say, Josh, Jesus isn't the center of my life, but I want Him to be, and I'm ready to take that step today. If that's you, right where you're seated, I just want you to slip up a hand and say, Josh, that's me. I need a restart. Thank you, sir. I see you. Yes, ma'am, I see you there too. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yeah, buddy, I see you. Good for you too. Awesome, guys. Awesome. Anybody else join these? Thank you, ma'am. Good for you. Anybody else say, yep, that's me. Yep, well, I see you waving at me. That's awesome. That's awesome. Anybody else? Yes, I got you. Yep, got you. Who else wants to say, yep, I need to take that step. I need a new season. I need a new start. I see you, young lady. Good for you. Love that. Yep, I see you, young man. I see you, young lady. Yep, clear in the back. I got you. Oh, I see you too, buddy. Good for you. That's awesome. People of all ages are responding right now, guys. Young people, middle-aged people, men, women. Anybody else right now? Come on, real quick. Last time I'm going to ask. Real quick, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Okay, I got you. That's awesome. That's awesome. Can we do this together with, I don't know, it's got to be about 15 or 18 people who've said yes to Jesus. Can we all pray this together like we're praying it for the very first time? Maybe you've prayed this prayer dozens of times. I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me for those who are maybe praying it for the very first time. Everybody in the room, from your heart, say this, repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son. Thank you that He died for me. Thank you that He was raised from the dead for me. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now and forever, I turn from my sin and I'll turn to your Son and I'll follow Him all the days of my life. It's in His name I pray. Amen. Come on, y'all, MLC. Make some noise, y'all. That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.